I was going to say it's funny that Stephen should mention about miracles, but it's not. I don't suppose it is really in God's plan, is it? Because he knows what's going to happen. Because my title for this morning is Miracle Makers. So we're going to have a look at that. You might think that, well, what I've chosen for what will be the last service this year might seem a bit strange to start with, but hopefully it will open up. I wondered why I couldn't see then, because I've not got my glasses on. Right, if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew 14, I'm going to look at a really simple story today. So if you were expecting some theological extravaganza, it's not going to happen this morning. It's just going to be a simple story which we're going to look at, but so much in it, which I think sometimes we can miss if we're not careful. So I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read from verse 13 to 21. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And the same story from a different perspective, John 6, verse 1 to verse 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test them, for he knew in himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up from the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus said, "This truly is the prophet who is come into the world." Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that as we study it, even though we know this story well, Lord, that you will reveal new truth to us. Lord, that you will bless us and that you will lead us and guide us. And Lord, let us rightly apply it to our lives this morning and, Lord, forever. I ask it in your name. Amen. So this story, very popular Sunday school story. You probably heard it talked about quite a lot. What could we learn or possibly apply from our lives from a story that we already know so well? Well, I know I will preach on this for probably 2 months, really, but I've been thinking about it, but only looked at it this morning and only wrote this morning. I've enjoyed looking at it and thinking about it and learned some things myself, so I hope that we will learn something this morning, that it's not just just a sermon. So if we look at these two accounts of the same incident, obviously the same incident from the detail, you get some quite different perspectives. What we're going to do is we're going to cross-reference them so that we can get the fullest possible picture of what happened. Well, there were, as far as I can see, there were four main participants I want us to look at this morning. First of all, there was Jesus, and there was his disciples, and then there was the boy, and then there was the people. I'm going to be brief, because once I started, I thought I could have preached a sermon on each one of these this morning, but obviously we have time restraints, don't we? So first of all, I'd like to look at Jesus' part in the things that happened on this day. First of all, which might surprise you, and you may not realise this, we're going to look at how Jesus was feeling prior to this miracle. Now, when I read the reading from John 14, verse 13 to 21, it doesn't tell you what happened just before that. And if we were to read John 14, verse 1 to 12, it gives the account of John the Baptist being beheaded. Now, we all know that John the Baptist was sort of Jesus' cousin, weren't he? And brought up together and the same age and probably lived in the same area. I'm just going to read from verse 12 of chapter 14 and just through to verse 14 again. This might give you a little bit more perspective. Then his disciples came and took away the body, they're talking about John the Baptist here, and buried it, and went and told Jesus. And then when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So Jesus had just had this terrible news about John the Baptist, who he loved, and he needed to go away and be alone, really, and think and pray and mourn, didn't he? That's what you would have thought that Jesus would have wanted to do. And he tries to go get on a boat. Well, he gets on a boat and he goes to a different place where he hopes that it's going to be quiet. In verse 13 of Matthew, it says, to a deserted place. So he didn't just like go to somebody's house, shut the doors and have a sit down. But he went out of his way to go away to another place. In verse 3 of John, it says, up a mountain. So he went to a quiet, deserted place, and it maybe was on the top of a mountain. So he went out of the way and off the beaten track to mourn and to pray for John, probably. Well, that's where I was thinking anyway, from how the story is leading. So probably the last thing that Jesus wanted to be doing was being followed and hassled by a great crowd of needy people, just wanting him and wanting him to do stuff for them. You can imagine that, can't you?
Yeah.
What would we have done in that situation if that had just happened to us? We'd have probably told him to go away. You know, we'd have probably gone and locked ourselves in his own house, you know, so no one could find us. What did Jesus do? In verse 14, it says that when he saw them, he was so moved with compassion that he had to do something for them. He saw the people and knew in his heart he must do something for these people, even though probably in himself he must have felt quite bad. At the end of verse 14, there's three little words. It says, healed their sick. Three little words. Yet how many people did Jesus heal on that day? Well, it doesn't say that he didn't heal some of them, so you should imagine that all of them that came were healed. What diseases did the people have that came? I'm sure they weren't just runny noses and, you know, my elbows aching or whatever. There would have been some life-changing illnesses that Jesus healed that morning. Did he heal them all? Well, I say yes, because he doesn't say that he didn't. He says he healed their sicknesses. Three little words, but already an awesome day, isn't it? That must have took some time, because the next thing it says that when it was evening, his disciples came to him. So time had moved on. It must have took a long time to heal the people and talk to the people and do what needed doing. We would call it probably late tea time if we had a late, you know, tea time meal. There were, it says in verse 10, of John, about 5,000 men, and then plus women and children. So, you know, when you have the children's stories, we always say, oh, five, the feeding of the 5,000. It was probably more like 12,000 or, you know, 10 or 12,000 by the time there was the women and the children as well. And obviously there was children there. So it was probably a lot more than what they said. Well upward of 5,000 hungry, excited people. People who had seen Jesus do miracles and were hungry. Then Jesus comes out with this beauty. He says in verse 5 of John, where shall we buy bread for all these people? Looking at the disciples. So can you imagine if you were one of those disciples and Jesus is sat there in front of 10,000 people, say, and he says, right then, where are we going to get bread for all these people? Where are we going to buy the bread for all these people? Can you imagine the disciples' faces? Can you imagine their jaws dropped? And the disciples thinking, well, the cost of doing such a thing, the carrying of the bread to this remote place where they'd gone, the location, how difficult were the logistics of actually doing that? In verse 6, it says that, excuse me, verse 6 of John, it says that, tells us that Jesus already knew what he would do, and he was testing the disciples' faith by asking the question, where shall we buy bread? It tells us that in that verse 6. I think that this is something that has happened to us in the past and will happen to us in the future. You know, that God asks of us at times, what are we going to do in this situation? He doesn't say, what am I going to do? Or he doesn't say, what are you going to do? But he says, what are we going to do in this situation together? Knowing full well what he will do, but just seeing how much faith we have in what he can do. And we can become part of a miracle in some way, as all these four categories of people were on this day. Jesus knew about the boy with the five small pieces of bread and the two small fish. Just enough for that boy, not enough for everyone else. In a moment of compassion, this boy gives them to the disciples and says, you can have these what I've got. Then Jesus takes them and he blesses them and he gives thanks for God's provision. And then simply starts to break the bread and fish to the disciples, who then passed it on, who then started to break the bread and fish themselves and pass it on until everyone was full. Can you imagine that happening? That I just had a loaf of bread now, a couple of sardines, and I just started breaking it, and then I give it to Julie, and Julie brocks them off, give it to Gary. You know, and it just, what was happening? Where was the bread coming from? You know, where was the fish coming from? Amazing thing when you think about it, isn't it? It just kept on and kept on and kept on until everyone had had enough. How long would that take to feed 10,000 people, having to actually break the bread and fish and give it to them? You know, all these things take a lot of time, don't they? How much bread would that take? If you thought about it now, maybe half a lorry load full of sliced loaves. It's a lot of food, isn't it? When they'd all had everything that they could eat, there was still some left. Jesus says in verse 12 and 13 that, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. And they gathered up 12 baskets full of bread that was left. I would like to think that they'd given it to the poor. It doesn't say, does it? But Jesus didn't want it wasting, so maybe that's what they did. I don't know. But Jesus provided more than enough to meet the need of the people that day, didn't he? Their healing and for their physical needs as well. I don't really want to trivialise what Jesus did, and I would have liked to preach for a lot longer on that, but because of the restraints of time, I can't. So we're going to look at the second one, which is the disciples. Let's look at their part in the events of the day, and I'm going to be brief, so you'll have to use your imagination on some of the things. But first of all, the start of that day, some of the disciples brought the bad news to Jesus that John the Baptist had been beheaded. some of the disciples or all of them may have sailed with him to that quiet place. They went up the mountain maybe with him. Throughout that day, they witnessed his grief, yet saw his great compassion as he met the needs of all the people that came and he met all their needs of healing. They saw with their own eyes the awesome miracles of healing Jesus did that day for everyone that came. If you think of that day so far, from the disciples' point of view, that was an awesome day, a day full of wonder and glory and miracles, weren't it? But yet they knew what Jesus was going through. After all that, Jesus' simple question sent them into turmoil, didn't it? They'd seen those wondrous miracles, and yet something so little like Jesus says, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people?" threw them into turmoil. What? How? Who's going to do it? You might have thought one of them might have said, "Lord, I know you can provide. I've just seen all these awesome miracles you've done all day." Maybe what our response would have been, I don't know. We've got hindsight, haven't we? But which helps. Then this little boy comes up and says something like, "I've got these if you want them. You know, my packed lunch. 5 pieces of bread, small fish." We're not talking big loaves here, we're talking little things. It was a boy, he would. 5 little pieces of bread, 2 small fish, just enough for him, for his tea. Could Jesus do another miracle with these for so many people? Then, to their utter amazement, as Jesus takes, blesses, and thanks God for the small offering and starts to break it up, and as Jesus breaks it, more appears. And as they break that, more appears. How can it be? It goes on and on and on. I think it must have been for an hour or so before they could feed so many people. Until everyone was full. No one was left out. There wasn't anyone that didn't eat and have sufficient to leave some. And then they're able to collect the 12 baskets of leftovers. Can you imagine how the disciples' faith must have soared? Not only did Jesus heal hundreds or maybe thousands of people that day, but miraculously from a little amount of food, feeds all of them, 10,000 or however many they were there. And the disciples had been part of that miracle, hadn't they? Jesus had involved them in it. Let's briefly look at the boy's point of view. Excuse me. Can you imagine that boy got up that day? And maybe his parents were going to see Jesus, or he had heard about Jesus and wanted to go and see for himself. It doesn't say in the story, so we have to sort of use our imagination a little bit there. But for some reason, he knew he was going out for the day to see Jesus. And his mum gives him his little packed lunch, as probably we would do if our children were going on a trip. A little bit of food just for him for the day, his loaves and fishes. And off he goes and finds Jesus. And he witnesses Jesus healing multitudes of people all day. And he sits and listens to the words of Jesus, not even having time to eat that tea which he's been given. You would have thought by then that he would have probably eaten it, being a kids like the food, don't they? If it had been a McDonald's burger, it'd have been down, wouldn't it? But he would have thought that he might have eaten that by now. Then Jesus says, "We need food to feed these people." And this little boy goes forward and gives the little food that he has to the disciples, even though he must have been quite hungry himself. Maybe he was sat quite close to the front and he heard Jesus and he thought he was giving it to Jesus. No, for Jesus to eat. Then to his amazement, he sees Jesus pray for and give thanks for the bread and fish and then start breaking it and giving it out. And amazingly, it never runs out. It keeps growing. It keeps getting bigger. It keeps breaking up. How is this happening? You can imagine this little boy full of wonder, can't you? My little lunch is feeding all these people. I've been part of a miracle. Jesus has used me and my lunch to feed all these people. If you think about it, that little boy's sandwiches became a mighty miracle. Yeah. Something so simple. The other thing which I thought about was that boy became famous throughout history because of this event. Would have been nice if he had said his name, wouldn't it? But nevertheless, that boy is written in history forever, written in the Word of God for eternity, isn't he? After that event, his deed of kindness was recorded in God's Word forever. What an awesome, life-changing day this had been for the disciples and for this boy. He gave the little that he had, and Jesus blessed it and multiplied it. And look what happened, just from a little sandwich. There's a lesson for us in that, isn't there? God can use any little thing that we have to bring and can cause an awesome miracle from that. Even a little sandwich. So what can we bring? Let's quickly look at the people, what happened for the people that day. The multitude came to see Jesus, maybe seeking healing, maybe just wanting to hear Jesus, maybe just needing to listen to the words that he had to say to them. For many of them, they received their healing. What a miracle that was already. They were healed completely of whatever was wrong with them. No exceptions. They'd already been met Jesus in a mighty way, hadn't they? And met God in healing power. Then witnessing Jesus feeding everyone with just a few scraps of food from a little boy's pocket, as it were. What a day. That undoubtedly changed their lives forever. And can you think of and imagine all the stories that these, let's call it 10,000 people, went back and said, you know what's happened today? Jesus has healed thousands of people. And then when we thought we were just going home, he miraculously fed the same 10,000 people with a little bit of bread and a few fish. What a day that had been. That would definitely change the lives of thousands of people that were there and thousands of people that weren't there as the testimony went out into the area of what Jesus had done. Jesus had healed the physical needs of the people first, hadn't he, when he had compassion. Then Jesus met their practical needs as he fed them, you know, sustained their bodies. And he left them inspired in their spiritual need from that encounter with Jesus. He met all their needs. So in conclusion, what will we say and do this year when God says, what are we going to do in this situation? What have you got that I can use? If I asked you what you was going to do for God this year, I bet some people would say, I can't do anything. You know, I can't do anything for God. I haven't even got anything that I could use. Well, could you make a sandwich? That's all that little boy had. That little boy's sandwich became a mighty miracle in God's hands and will be talked about, as we say, through all eternity. A little boy and his sandwich that he was willing to give up. What can we give Jesus and what that he can use? Whatever little or big thing can we give God? One thing is certain, we still have a God who can do miraculous things with just small amounts of faith from us. The thing what sort of blows my mind more is that Jesus involved the little boy. You know, Jesus could have just gone, and sandwiches could have fell into everybody's hand. He could have, couldn't he? Could have done that. But yet, he let this little boy be involved. And that's what he does with us. Jesus could do anything he likes by himself, but he wants us to be involved, doesn't he? He wants us to do our little bit so that it inspires our faith, so it inspires other people's faith. As we give the little bit that we have, Jesus takes it and blesses it and multiplies it and can bring awesome miracles because of just your little offering or the little bit that I've got to do, the little word that I can say, the little deed that we can do for someone. You know, if we're looking to do miraculous, big, booming things for God, that's all well and good. But we're called to a normal life, aren't we, most of us? And it's the little things sometimes which God just multiplies sort of out of our control. Maybe we will be called to do a miracle that will stand and last throughout all eternity and bring the power of Jesus to many people's lives like this one did. Never forget, not only today, this week or month or year or ever, however long we live, that just the little we have to give to God in the right way can change history and thousands of people's lives. We can be those miracle makers, can't we? Amen.